Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, on this Monday morning, President Biden came into office talking a lot about unity and bipartisanship. That's really going to be put to the test this week as he enters into negotiations with members of Congress, particularly in the U.S. Senate, related to his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. Joining us right now to take a look at the importance of this, ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts. Good morning, Steve.
Well, good morning, Paul, and you're right, it is a test. Because Joe Biden's, to some extent, going to have to choose between two ideas, unity and victory. Now, he'd like to have both, right? He'd like to have a unified support for his very ambitious plan of $1.9 trillion, which, of course, is on top of another plan that was just passed at the end of the Trump administration. You've got a group of 10 Republican senators. This is a very significant number, Paul, because Democrats have 50 votes in the Senate. You need 60 to break a filibuster. If you get 10 Republicans, then you can really control the debate. And these 10 have said, well, how about a bill of $600 billion, which is obviously significantly below what Biden wants. But he's going to meet with them this afternoon in the White House. And the question is, does Biden hold out for all or nothing? Because the Democrats probably could push through Biden's whole plan just with Democratic votes. But this is a template. This is an example. This is a precedent. And if he really believes in bipartisanship and unity, does he make some concessions to the Republicans? Does he set a tone at the beginning of his administration that he really is willing to compromise? It's, as you say, this is a big test for him.
Well, it's a big test, and it really does, as you said, sets the template for the next 4 years, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. And he runs a real risk here. You know, he takes a meeting with these 10 Republicans this afternoon. And suppose that collapses. Suppose he says, well, I'm not going to deal with them. And they say, I'm not going to deal with him. That gets everything off to a lousy start. And I think Biden genuinely is a compromiser and genuinely does believe in bipartisanship. I covered him for many years, Paul, when he was in the U.S. Senate. And that's who Joe Biden is. But you got to also remember, he's under a lot of pressure from the left wing of the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders, now going to be chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. And he goes on television yesterday basically saying, we got to have everything. You know, we got to have everything in this bill. We can't make any compromises. And that kind of pressure is going to come from Sanders. It's going to come from Elizabeth Warren. It comes from a lot of liberal columnists and commentators who would immediately be attacking Biden as a sellout if he deals with the Republicans. So his problem is not just with Republicans, Paul. He's got at least as big a problem with the left wing of his own party.
It's going to be really interesting to see this all unfold in the days ahead. How willing do Republicans seem to be to compromise? You mentioned that Biden is a bipartisan compromiser, at least was in his years in the Senate. Are there enough Republicans that are willing to sit down and talk with the new president about a little give and take here?
Well, that's also a very good question. The fact that 10 Republicans signed this note, it's striking. It includes the obvious suspects, the folks who are somewhat more moderate Republicans like Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mitt Romney of Utah, but includes some fairly conservative folks as well. Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Mike Rounds of North Dakota, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. I was really struck that a number of these Republicans who were slavishly pro-Trump and during the Trump years would never imagine taking a meeting with the Democrats are reaching out. So one of the questions is, in the post-Trump era, do some of these Republicans reach out? And it's a tiny flicker. That's all you can really say, Paul. But it is a flicker of hope that there will be a new way of governing. Look, on the surface, this actually should not be that complicated a problem, because you've got the Democrats This is money. You can always compromise money, Paul, right? It's very hard to compromise principle. If you've got a debate over abortion, either you're for it or against it, and there's a ferocious and deep-seated feeling on both sides. Democrats are at 1.9. The Republicans are at 600 billion. Doesn't take a mathematical genius to figure out 1.2, 1.3. You're right in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The question is whether people want to do that, whether they are willing to stand up to the more resolute and more stiff-necked forces in their party to say, I'm going to actually compromise. I'm going to actually deal. I actually believe the words that Biden spoke at his inauguration. And that's got to be true on both sides for there to be real progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody talks a big game when it comes to bipartisanship, but today is where they have to sort of put action to it. It'll be very interesting to watch. Steve, appreciate the analysis. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Sure, Paul.
Take care.